Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine podcast, episode 17, recorded January 16th, 2015, reporting live. We are looking live at Pasadena, California. I'm Jason Snell, but Tim Goodman is at the Death March with Cocktails. Still, you're still alive, Tim. Still alive.
I'm still alive. It's whether I'm coherent or functional is a completely different story.
The Death March is in its second week.
Second week, yeah. I've been here since the 5th. It's now the 16th, so I'm 11 days in.
And you got another, what, 4 or 5 to go?
I'm checking out. Yeah, I am checking out 5 or 6 days from now on the 21st. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I bet.
Some days are better than others. Some days you're in there and you're thinking, okay, this is interesting. And then other days, like today, kind of at NBC, I'm like, eh.
Just a grind.
It's kind of a grind because I think people are hitting that tired period. And then if you get a session that's not a very good session, it just kind of disintegrates.
Puts you to sleep.
It does. And then you have to find ways to entertain yourself, which is by, you know, we're tweeting. For example, there was a Celebrity Apprentice panel today, which is I could give a crap about, right?
Yeah.
But of course, every time he's here, Trump says that the celebrity says the Apprentice or Celebrity Apprentice is the number one show on television, which it has never, ever been.
Nope.
And so I tweeted out earlier today. I said, okay, countdown to Trump saying it's number one on television has begun. And like within, God, we were under the 3-minute mark and he said it. And so I tweeted something out. And then pretty much the guys who cover the ratings in the room, they started kind of joking about it too. And finally somebody called him on it. And he lied again. and then the session goes on. People are asking, like, Lorenzo, what does Lorenzo Lamas have to say or whatever, whoever's there. And then people will come back and say, you know, you're actually not number one.
Really not.
And not number one in the second hour either. You're actually number 3. And he'll say – and he just doesn't listen. So it was fun because it was like just like, okay, this is a dumb session. And we're going to just spend our time trapping Donald Trump.
I'm glad you guys were entertaining yourselves. That's nice.
That was it. And finally, one guy, Daniel Feinberg from HitFix. Thank God for Dan. Dan was basically able to say, you know, really kind of back him into a corner. It was very polite.
It was a polite backing.
He did it in a reverse way rather than just saying, you know, clearly you're not number one because – here you finished. And he's like, he said, so are you, what you're saying is that you are ranked higher than Mike and Molly on that night. And he's like, no, I'm just, and then so are you saying that, you know, this is, and then Trump, who's not one to sort of do that, finally just said, well, just what I've been told.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it was like, vanquished.
He got some bad information. He's been lied to by his people.
Yeah, which I'm sure he did. I'm sure no one at NBC told him anything.
A poor guy.
Yeah, he just because he's the grand self promoter, so he'll believe anything. His theory is that if he puts it out there, it's the truth.
Yeah, sure. That's how he lives his life.
So that's how sometimes we get through these sessions.
Yeah, you're entertaining yourself. I'm glad about that.
Yeah, that's a little good. Inside baseball.
Yeah, that's good. That's how stay afloat.
That's how we live through the locker room.
So what else been going on? I feel like we should just ask you tell us about your week, Tim.
Okay, well in fact I'll tell you what, I will run down a series of things, and you know, you being a TV fan, mm-hmm. You could say, oh, I tell me a little bit about that, or
let's do it.
And it's not in any order from when I came here. It's much more like it's alphabetical order by network or channel.
All right,
so A&E was here with The Returned, the American version of The Returned.
That's right. Right? I think we might have covered that a little bit last week.
Absolutely no memory of that.
That's fine. This is the Returned that is the American version of the French show. And are they doing a Broadchurch? Are they Broadchurching it where they're or Grace pointing it, I guess?
Yep. They're Grace pointing it. They're going to go 6 basically wall to wall. I mean, the first one is the exact replica. And I think based on them, they're going to do 6 into that are the similar as the French version of The Returned. And then they're going to take a detour and go their own way. And,
wow.
You know, so many good things happen when they do that.
Yeah.
History shows, though, something like Grace Point, when it takes a detour on its own, it works out so well. So I wouldn't have hope for that. The one, I'll tell you what, there is on another one in the A's. American Crime from ABC looks look decent, and I think that's a that's a closed ended one where it's a little bit like, well, I don't want to compare it.
It's their True Detective.
Right? It's their True Detective on a network level, and there will be a conclusion to the crime at the end of it, and then they can have the option, if the ratings were good, to reboot it and come back with a different cast.
New crime.
Yeah. I will say this, though. It's a big cast. It's got major players in it, and I think that's going to be probably the mid-season's biggest swing from a network.
Interesting.
Yeah, we had an interesting session here with ABC when they were here for the Fresh Off the Boat series. Eddie Wang, and he was here for his book of the same name, and that produced a really heated panel, because first of all, there's so much great stuff going on, right? I mean, it's the first time that there's been an all Asian show, you know, probably since Margaret Cho's days, and we know how badly that was butchered, but so what normally would have been, I think, a panel that would have been a successful thing because the show looks good. It's getting a buzz. People are funny. Is that what he did was he went to New York Magazine, the Vulture part of New York Magazine, and he wrote a first person piece about how ABC and the showrunner to the series had messed it all up. And that's really, you don't want to torpedo your own show before you show up in front of a bunch of critics. And then the hook to that was, it was a really long rambling thing about how they barely got anything right. A lot of slamming of the show, of ABC, of how they put it together, et cetera. But the end of his thing, he's like, yeah, you know what, though? I had all these trepidations, but, you know, 19 minutes are not that great. 3 minutes are good, and we take our first step. And so his approach was like, at the end I said it was good, and he didn't really say that. So we were like, why would you torch your own show where you're actually here on the panel supporting it? So it was a very odd session. Yeah.
I followed another ABC session that made me laugh, that was all the critics that I follow on Twitter were going off, and it was for, I think it's called The Whispers.
The Whispers.
Which was like, I guess you guys, I think they sent out a pilot, and in the pilot it's very clear that the it's about children doing horrible things because their imaginary friends tell them to do them, right? Like, yes, kill their parents and things like that. And in the pilot, my understanding is, the one that you saw, is that it's fairly clear that they are the sort of the forerunners of an alien invasion. But apparently on the panel they're like, no, it's not going to be aliens, maybe. And then all the critics are like, the one that made me laugh out loud was, maybe it's ghosts, someone said. I'm like, sure, whatever. And I felt that grace pointing kind of thing again, which is like, maybe it's just a smoke screen. Maybe they're lying. But all the critics were just completely up in my arms. Like, what the hell? We just watched this show, and now you're telling us what we saw isn't the show?
Right, because they redid it. And here's the thing. Here's what they haven't done. This is, boy... Put this in your memoir on how not to run a network. So here comes their session. They've sent out the thing, which was the – and we know the ending, which is aliens. The ending is aliens. Then they don't put the revamped pilot, which they reshot, to take out the aliens, because it's not that they – and it's funny because when they decided to talk to us about it, they're like – they basically said, well, it's not that it can't be aliens.
Just they don't want to give it away in the
They don't want to give it away in the first one. Somebody gave them a note like, hey, you guys like gave this away. Why don't you do this in the last episode or the fourth episode? So they're like, well, we want you guys to keep a secret, which of course everybody starts laughing at. Like, well, it's a little late for that because it's aliens.
Mm-hmm. You guys don't clap, but you do laugh.
We do laugh.
At network executives.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, don't – if you're going to not want us to know if you want us to protect something that might be a spoiler, don't spoil it yourself, for starters. Mm. But here's the other thing. Not only did they not put the revamped pilot up on the ABC Media Net player where we could see it, they ran it in closed circuit inside the hotel room where A, no one knew that was happening. And B, no one ever watches anything on closed circuit inside the hotel room. That just never happens. We're out. We're out downstairs. We're just, you know, like if HBO which they've done a couple of times, wants you to see something, they will say, hey, we have we have a sneak peek of this show coming up, which you might have got the screeners late. So, hey, at 9 o'clock on Sunday, we are going to put out a little spread for you. If you want to come, we're going to show it on the big screen. That's how you get people to come and see your show. You don't just sort of say, oh, you missed it last night on your TV on the closed circuit channel. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other good ABC?
Well, stuff? So Agent Carter was here. They were interesting. I mean, I'm a little worried about them because the numbers went down. I think that's a really good show. I gave it a really positive review.
I agree.
Numbers went way down in the second episode. That is not a good sign. Every show basically goes down in the second episode. Every show except Empire.
Except for Empire, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's kind of stunning. So that's a hit. That is definitely a hit. But everybody, the minimum you normally drop, or the average, I should say, is about a 15% audience drop. And Carter was well below that, which is too bad because it's a really good show. So that turned out to be kind of interesting. They're also redoing Secrets and Lies, which I believe was an Australian series. And they kind of got into what we would call the grace pointing of that as well, because I believe the original version only had 6 episodes and the ABC version is going to have 10. Hmm. So we usually, when that happens, we usually want to say, oh, so what did you do to make 4 episodes more? And the answer to that was, and I kid you not, quote, more secrets, more lies.
Of course. It's more of everything.
More, bigger, badder, more. But that said, I don't think it was that bad. I think Fresh Off the Boat is going to be, once it's the guy who created it gets out of his own way, I think that's going to be something that really takes off. Plus, it gets points for diversity. Mm. American Crime, I think, is going to be a big swing. I'm hoping Agent Carter turns around. Who knows about Secrets and Lies? And The Whispers is going to suck. But so that was there.
They just figuring they're going to have some Marvel something on their schedule at all times? Is that the assumption there?
I think so, and I haven't written it yet. I've been writing like mad. I haven't written it yet. I think the one that I want to write on Agent Carter is that this is really Marvel's fault, because you've got a decent turnout audience only because when critics finally got access to the pilot, which we had to jump through hoops to get. And ABC did not make it easy for us, but it really was Marvel's fault. Those two are not working together, and that's frustrating. But once we finally got it and people liked it, the reviews were really positive. So that drove either a day of or a couple of days before show audience awareness. But had they done a much, much better job, they would have had a much bigger audience. So Marvel basically, in its desire to keep things secret and keep a lid on things because they think that everything that they touch is gold, they really just shot themselves in the foot.
Hmm. That's too bad. I also see that when you look at the stuff on the CW, and I guess forthcoming on CBS too, these DC Comics shows, the DC Comics properties are like completely unhooked from the movie versions, and right. So it seems like, look, make a TV show, it's fine. Whereas Marvel wants everything to be all connected, and mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they're not focused that much on TV, right? They want the billion-dollar blockbuster, not necessarily worried so much about the TV show. I don't know.
Right, and again, this is a little bit inside baseball, but maybe that gives people some sense of like how these things can go badly and maybe what the problem is. So when Agent Carter was here, you had 7 producers on stage. Mm. And 5 stars. So, which means that Haley Atwell barely got any questions because all the producers from Marvel and everything, they wanted to have their say. So it's,
right.
In a nutshell, that's what's wrong with the show. Right. Let's see here. Let's scroll through some. I won't pick every show because we've had so many panels. But did we talk about BBC America last time with Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell?
No, we did not.
Mm. You're curious about that.
I've read the book, and I'm very curious about it as a series. Yes.
So I haven't read the book, and
it's like 1,000 pages. Don't read it.
It's pretty.
But yeah. I liked it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of notations and stuff.
Yes, they're wacky, zany footnotes in it. Mm-hmm. It's It's one of those. So
that one's closed ended. It will run its run of episodes, and then there won't be like another one. It looked visually very impressive. You'll be happy to know about that. I loved it. I mean, from the clips, I thought, whoa, what is this? Like, what that? And that's because we haven't got it yet. So it's like, wow, this. I want this, and I want to see it like right now.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that was really good. That was a plus. Orphan Black. We've previewed Orphan Black for the coming season 3, and basically the hook there is that there's they're really going to expand out how it ended in second 2, where you're going to find out that there are boy clones, basically. So more boy clones. And let's see. You would have had a great time, Jason, in the CBS Cyber panel.
Oh my God. We're all looking forward to CSI Cyber, because by description alone, it sounds like the singularly most ridiculous TV show premise ever.
Yeah, it is. And I don't even really know what they're doing, but it is this great mixture of just a big smile on my face. Just a great mixture of like, let's get the kind of younger, hipper, wackier kids who kind of know everything. And then you got to have the hard-boiled CSI types over here, and it's a coming together of generations all together to fight crime. It looks a little bit like somebody has just learned about computers.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The world of computers is very exciting.
That's exactly, I think.
And Patricia Arquette and James Vanderbeek will explore it weekly.
That's right.
With help from Luke Perry, because all the stars of the 90s will be back.
I know. Well, speaking of computers, Halt and Catch Fire was here. Did we talk about that last
time? No, we did not. No.
Yeah, they were here, and I will give them credit for they canceled the series. They brought it back within like weeks of canceling it. They changed their mind. Huh. And I think that they changed their mind because they realized that there was a groundswell of people who had gotten through to the end, where the end of the show was good. The beginning of the show and the end of the show were good. The middle parts kind of lagged. And I think that AMC is counting, well, they're running out of shows for starters, but they're counting that this audience is actually there. It's very hard to track audiences in this world now, but we think that they're there, and if we give them access to the first season and repeat viewings, they'll come back. And I will say that the premise for the second season is pretty strong. It's pretty strong. I think the hook of it is that they're splitting off to form rival companies and breaking up everybody in the big group, and how they pit against each other to make the next, like, what's the next leap? And of course the next leap is connectivity. So we'll see how that works. I was kind of like, okay, hopefully you guys learned your storytelling lessons in season 1 and now it'll be better.
All right. Yeah, that's a cool idea for a show. I haven't seen it, so I should watch it, because it's all old computer stuff.
It's all old computer stuff.
Yeah.
When CBS was here, they had a let's see, what stood out? I'm looking at their lineup. Oh, it's a couple of things stood out. I think that the Odd Couple remake might actually work.
Huh.
I mean, in a CBS kind of way, where you and I are probably maybe not really watching it, but that it ends up getting a number of seasons, I think that's a possibility.
The CBS kind of way of they make a show and you're like, whatever, and then it's on for 10 years.
Yes.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Exactly. Thank you for sussing that out. That is exactly what
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it could be. Those CBS comedies are competently done. They're comedies, in fact. I just made up a word. They're competent comedies. They're comedies. And yeah, Matthew Perry, as I think he's a pretty likable guy, as Oscar Madison. I think that's not a bad choice.
Exactly. That is not a bad choice. And I think that show has potential, given its cast, that it could work. So Odd Couple, I think, probably work. The one thing that stood out at CBS, which was the most interesting, was when they introduced James Corden, who of course will be taking over and he'll do the Late Late Show. And he's, you know, the guy's really likable. And I asked a lot of the first questions there, which I think of what I thought was the most important question, was like, how does a guy who has a successful TV career, has done stuff on Broadway successfully, and now has a movie that's a hit, like, why would you want to give all of that up and get into something where you're completely locked down and not able to do it? And his answer was really interesting. He just, like, this is what he's wanted to do, and that for him, movies and the TV stuff is interesting because he writes it himself, he acts in it. But he was just saying, I think that if you take the time you spend in the trailer and the time to do one line and you reshoot it, he goes, I can take, you know, all the joy I get in doing these things that we're now talking about, and I can make it happen like in a flash with this show. So creatively, he'll be more satisfied, he says, doing the late night talk show than he would be doing the movies and stuff. It's an interesting thing because you got to give up a pretty big chunk of your creative life to do it.
Yeah, it's a big deal. That's his job now.
That's his job. Yeah. That's his job. Let's see here. That was it for them. Comedy Central was here. They had a couple of other things that are interesting. You know, they're my comeback network, right? They have a lot of stuff on there that very, very successful stuff. As I told people, I think they should be watching the review, the show that's called Review. Mm-hmm. So they brought two new ones out. One's called Another Period, which is it's basically a period piece from a throwback, done very well. The other one's called Big Time in Hollywood, Florida. Both of them are scripted, and they looked really interesting. I didn't see the full pilots of them, but I kept thinking, you know what? This could work. These guys are funny. The clips look good, scripted, and Comedy Central making strides. And then, of course, they had Larry Wilmore here talking about the nightly show.
How are you feeling about that one?
Well, because I think he's going to do well. I mean, obviously that's a live show, so we don't get to see anything in advance. But they're live on Monday. So
amazing.
Yeah. I mean, just like that, right? We had Corden in earlier, and then you're like, oh, okay, here's Larry Wilmore is going to be like live first show on Monday. And I'm sure that I'll have something up on THR, although my policy is you can't really review a show on the first night. You can maybe just talk about how somebody does, but that's not how the show's going to be in a month. It won't be that way even in 2 weeks. It'll be completely different.
They're all long haul.
They're long haul stuff.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Stephen Colbert is just like off sunning himself until September, I think.
Yeah. He can really take his own time on that. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that has popped up, and not really a surprise as far as like trends, is that like, again, more and more people are in the scripted business. E was here recently for they have a show called The Royals. Elizabeth Hurley starring as the Queen. And it's basically just a modern version. And of course, everybody in the royal family is trouble. And it's just it's what do they call it? Anarchy in the monarchy. That's their working premise. So again, they're there.
Wow.
HBO had a lot of good stuff. Did we talk about HBO before?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they had some good stuff. I think the one that people are going to want to keep their eye out for, and I believe I would say check your schedule because I don't know offhand, but I think it's the end of January, which we're clearly coming up on, is you're going to want to watch this series called The Jinx. It's a documentary. They're going to break it up into six episodes. It's called The Jinx, The Life and Deaths, plural, Life and Deaths of Robert Durst.
Oh, is this the killer guy who got away with it? Yeah, no, we did talk about that last week.
Yeah, so that's just, I mean, now the buzz on that is super strong. So people are going to want to, they're going to want to be on that. History Channel was here. Shocker, they're into more scripted stuff. This one, they've got...
Everybody wants to be AMC now.
Yeah, everybody. Look, everybody's got something. You know, Logo has scripted stuff. Lifetime has scripted stuff. History Channel... It's just there's like it's too much. That's kind of, you know, National Geographic Channel, which they do all the killing stuff, right? Killing Kennedy, killing Lincoln. Now they've got Killing Jesus. That's coming up. And let's see here. And today is NBC, and you know, I'm not that excited about any of their stuff. I think that. It looks like their next season they'll probably take bigger swings, and I don't know what that's going to mean for NBC. But this year, it's just kind of a lot of stuff you've seen before, and I'm not excited about what's going to happen with NBC in the mid-season to season finale there.
Wow. So don't buy any more stock in Comcast, right?
And Comcast, like NBC Universal. No, they could do well. I just, I mean, it's everything's a calculated guess on their head. They're going to move They're moving The Blacklist, which is one of their bigger shows. They're moving that to Thursday, but Thursday is a powerhouse for ABC with all the Shonda Rhimes stuff. So that could take a hit. They admitted today that they really have trouble coming up with comedy. They don't know what to do with comedy. They lost, when they gave up the Tina Fey show, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, which looks great, by the way.
And they gave it to Netflix.
Yeah, and that's tough. So I don't know what really is going to happen on NBC. But hey, they were here. I guess that's all we can say. They were here.
Present.
They showed up. Present. NBC. Present. Showtime was here. It's Nurse Jackie's final season. Who really cares, right?
So, totally a comedy, Tim.
Yeah, it's totally a comedy. She's Edie Falco is so
funny lady.
So funny. Penny Dreadful looked really good. You can go on, if people can go on right now, and they can go on to, I guess, YouTube and Google Penny Dreadful season 2 trailer, and it is a bloody scary mess. And I'm excited about that one. And let's see. I think we talked about Stars. They just have the returning stuff. Yep. Black Sails, Outlander. Power. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's a kind of a shocker that we didn't talk about. The CW was in town, and there's my favorite network.
I was gonna say we alphabetically went past the CW, and we gotta talk about them a little bit.
Yes, they were here, and I like another one of their shows.
That's happening?
Crazy, and not only that, the show is called, I want to throw up in my own mouth, but it's called iZombie.
Oh yeah, this is the Veronica Mars Rob Thomas show.
Yeah. So basically, it's Veronica Mars as a zombie.
Okay, sold, done.
But exactly, that's all you have to say. Yeah, okay, that looks interesting.
I believe the CW is the only broadcast TV network that won a Golden Globe last weekend.
I know they were.
And that was for Jane the Virgin, and at the time, I think I remember talking to you about this on Friday. There were some comments at the CW panel that were like, we're really excited about being nominated, and we think we'll be even more excited tonight. And I was reminded at the time of that back in the old days on Letterman, Helen Hunt told a story about how she was called by the Golden Globes and told to come to the Golden Globes, and she was like, "Yeah, I don't know, I don't really want to go." And they're like, "No, really, you should come." And she's like, "Yeah, but I don't want to." And they're like, "There'll be chicken. There'll be a chicken dinner." And she's like, "Yeah, I don't want that." No. Big plate of chicken. You are going to have a fantastic plate of chicken. You really, and she's like, "Oh, I see what you're doing."
Yeah.
And she won the Golden Globe, and they were trying very hard. So when I saw that line from the CW in their meeting with the critics, I thought, "Oh yeah, they're going to win. They're going to win something."
And when I saw it, I was stunned. I was like, "What the? What?" I mean, it's in my dreams. I was hoping that that would happen. I mean, what a stunner! And Gina Rodriguez is amazing.
Great.
So I'm so happy
for her.
Yeah, so happy that they won. I mean, that's
and that was a really great, nice, genuine moment.
It put them in, more on the map. I think it put an exclamation point on us talking about their comeback, which we've been doing here on the podcast for a while. So iZombie just might continue that.
Crazy.
It was a good panel.
I was going to ask you about more superhero shows on the CW, but it sounds like I mentioned this earlier. It sounds like CBS is doing Supergirl, right? So that's not going on the CW.
It's not going on. And of course, that was a hot topic of conversation. It's like, okay, CBS, why do you want Supergirl? But more importantly, where are you going to put it? Right.
Well, and theoretically, they could do a Star Trek show too, and that's been floating out there. Where would they put that? Would they do that on cable, or would they put that on one of their broadcast networks? And they've got a couple of those. I don't know. The CW doesn't even broadcast that many hours. They're going to run out of space for shows pretty soon.
Yeah, that's true. And they did when they were announced here. I don't know if people read it, or not, but basically, and it's for some people, it doesn't matter because they don't watch any CW shows. Mm. But they renewed their entire current lineup.
Right.
So they're all coming back, and you're right. That does create the next thing. Where do you put stuff? I mean, if iZombie, they have another show called Messengers, and who knows if that'll work. But iZombie, I think, is going to work. And so then you've got another kind of hit on your hands. So what do you do then?
It's not a bad problem to have.
It's not a bad problem, but it does sort of point to some, like, these behind the scenes. Maybe CBS looked at them and said, as the big brother or big sister, and said, you know what? I don't. Even if you wanted Supergirl, where would you put it?
Although, I don't know. I mean, when you look at NBC programming Constantine and Grimm on Friday nights, maybe your CBS at some point, you're like, yeah, we'll take some of that stuff and run, that kind of for the kids and run it on a Friday night or something like that. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. It does seem like CBS is playing a totally different game. So that's why I'm surprised that Supergirl is targeted at CBS and not the CW.
It could be a miss. I mean, that was my sentiment in the room, that might not have been the best idea. But just circling back to what you said about NBC, Constantine, not a ringing endorsement today, so I wouldn't look for that to come back. Yeah. Hannibal's going to come back in the summer. They're going to, and that's another one of a minor trend that's coming out of here at TCA, is that, you know, not the first time, but I think with a more beefy approach to it, more networks are saying, yes, we're doing summer, and not just one or two, but people are really putting scripted shows into summer. So I think maybe not this year, but pretty soon when the audience gets used to the fact that it won't just be cable that has scripted stuff in the summer, then you're going to just have you have a lot of choices now anyway, but it just, I think we're summer for the networks will not be, it will not be sort of like a, something they just burn off. I mean, not burning off now, but I guess what I'm saying is that current efforts being made on the broadcast side point to summer becoming a much bigger deal for everybody this season and then forward.
What about you didn't mention Fox. Have you heard from them yet?
Fox is not in there tomorrow.
All right.
There's a lot of stuff. Fox and FX are coming. ABC's been here. NBC's here today. NBC Universal shows were here. I will say
Does that mean Sci-Fi Channel has been through?
The Sci-Fi Channel has been through. They have Wizard Wars. That's what they.
Oh boy.
Yeah, that's what they touted, and it was it was kind of boring. Yeah, I don't know. I'm hoping for Sci-Fi's sake. You know, they didn't really talk too much about. I want Sci-Fi to. They talked about The Expanse.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I read those books. Those are really good.
Yeah.
The trailer looked good. I saw the trailer.
Yeah, and those are not short books, as you well know.
It's like 800-900 page books. That's the guy. It's two guys, one of whom is George R. R. Martin's like assistant. So they like know how to move through plot and tread it. I think the plan all along was we're going to get this on TV.
Right.
So mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. I have not seen. I didn't watch the show, so I can't tell you. But I think that's something that looks like it'll work for Sci-Fi. And I want them to go into the direction of more less of the kind of wacky stuff they're doing and more into that and Ascension, that kind of stuff.
Ascension didn't rate well enough to bring it back, did it?
Well, that's undecided. They're not saying no on that. I think that, I don't know. I think that they – I'm not sure that they did the greatest job in launching that.
I enjoyed it in the end. I enjoyed the whole thing.
Yes.
In the end, because there's a lot of buts. Anyway,
yes, in the end,
I did enjoy Ascension. That show. I thought that it has so many different strange ways that show could go forward in terms of it not being what we thought it was going in. That I thought, you know, this I'd go along for the ride again if it came back. But, you know, well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And again, like when I'm down here, I'm trying to look for trends and keep afloat because there's just so much stuff that's out there.
Sci-Fi does seem like they finally have turned it around to, oh, right, we're the Sci-Fi Channel. Maybe we should do something about that.
Right, and I think that's a confirmation of the trend it was going in, so that's a good thing to see. One of the other things that came up that, I mean, I'm not sure it will impact our listeners. It might because it's definitely a change in direction, and I was happy to see it. I was just surprised when I heard it because I wasn't paying attention. And it could be that I just don't pay attention to a lot of TV Land news because it's TV Land. But TV Land is rebranding itself, and they're dumping the whole Betty White thing.
Huh.
Like that whole like late boomer thing is out. They've just made a so they showed clips from like three of their new shows, and I will say they look better. That they've been done better. They are not kind of the Betty White recycled stuff. They're skewing younger. They're going to go, quote-unquote, Gen X. So as Gen X gets older.
I'm excited now.
Right. So they're kind of put it in the wheelhouse there, the Gen X wheelhouse now. And obviously they need to do a better job of getting that word out that they're doing it. Because I was like, oh, wow, you just showed three shows that looked kind of hip a little bit. So good for them. I'm happy for them to make the effort. I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure that they're going to pull it off. But again, the other trend that goes along with that is, and it's a little bit overwhelming. And I've written from here that like, hey, the Darwin's theory is, it's already in effect, but it's going to ramp up a lot because everybody, VH1, MTV, everybody's doing scripted. And, you know, Bravo was here yesterday, and Bravo has a show I really liked called Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce.
Right.
That's their drama.
Marty Noxon show, right?
Right, Marty Noxon, which has been re-upped for a second season, which I'm happy about. They showed us a clip of another comedy that they've got coming out called Odd Mom Out. You know, you can't judge it from its title. And they, you know, it's not until June, so it's almost summer. But they wanted to show us like a clip. And again, you can't judge too much from clips. But it looked pretty good. And the writing was crisp and sharp. It was snarky. And boy, it was pressing the old envelope as far as like what you can get away with on television. So they're trying to be a little more edgy in that regard.
Good. What about the streaming? I know that there was a bunch of big Amazon stuff, and then did you also hear from Netflix?
Yes, we did. In fact, I thought we had covered it, but I guess we did. Yeah, Netflix was here. They talked about The Fall, which is up now already. Season 2 of The Fall. It's only 6 episodes, so I would have, if you've never watched The Fall, go back. It's about a serial killer. It's got Gillian Anderson. It's amazing.
Right.
Go watch that first season, and then the second season is up in its entirety on Netflix right now. They paneled Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and I hadn't seen the episodes because I rushed down here to TCA. The people who didn't come to TCA and sat home and watched those episodes said it's really funny. They showed probably like an extended trailer for it, maybe like 15 minutes, mm-hmm. something like that, of all the clips. And it was really, really funny. So I'm very excited about Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And then the last one was Bloodline, which is the guys who from Damages. Mm-hmm. They've got a kind of same kind of thriller where you don't know who's did it until the very last second. So they did Bloodline. And then, of course, today, the Amazon pilot's all what launched today. And I just filed, it was either today or yesterday, I just filed a story basically saying, you know, this is the first time that Amazon has done pilots and I haven't been able to jump on them and watch them en masse. But I don't think that it really matters anymore because, as I said many times, I don't think that Amazon really cares what people say about their pilots. They're really going to pick what they want.
I did second time. I think maybe I watched a couple years ago. I think maybe I watched a couple of them, but I watched yesterday the Man in the High Castle pilot.
Right.
Which most of the things that I saw on the internet from people who had watched the pilots said that was the only one that was good or that it was the best of the bunch.
Yes.
And so I was like, all right, well, I think I read that book like 20 years ago. So I watched it and I thought it was great. I thought it was really good. That's Frank Spotnitz. So it's like Vince Gilligan. It's another X-Files graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was really interestingly shot. It was very kind of moody 40s style, which is interesting because it's this alt history where it's the Nazis and the Japanese win World War II and they divide up the U.S. But so even though it's set in the early 60s, it feels very much like the whole country's in a state of arrested development. It's all gray and feels very 40s and pretty stylish. There are a couple of really chilling moments. There's one moment that even as a longtime sci-fi viewer and reader, I went, what? Which is
really?
Actually pretty cool. And I thought it was really well done. So I'm looking forward to them picking that up, hopefully. I thought that was a good one.
I would think, and I've heard the same thing. That's the reaction I've got from people who have seen it. I would think that your confidence in it being picked up will be met.
Well, I mean, given the reaction just yesterday from people, it seems like that's the one that is a consensus is everybody's favorite, and you know, it was better than Alpha House or Betas, both of which I watched a couple years ago, and those both got picked up. And
oh yeah, but they're still on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and here's the thing too. I mean, I just did like literally an hour ago. I posted something about the Amazon pilots and it said, look, Transparent was their lowest of the last batch. And they're turning these things out at a more frantic rate.
Mm-hmm.
But the last batch where actually the last batch is not the Transparent batch. The we've done a couple since then. But in the batch where Transparent was the lowest rated of those bunch. Right? So you would think, okay, if Amazon is saying, you vote, and hey, you can go
online.
Yeah,
that's a lie. That's a lie. Yeah.
And I've never bought into it, and I think that this proves that it's a lie. And then plus, you know, Amazon made huge headlines when they signed Woody Allen.
Yeah, that was the other thing I wanted to mention, is that they signed Woody Allen to do something.
Yeah, it's an amazing, it's total, I mean, I wrote about it. It's like a total game changer. He's the last big director to come over. He's different than a lot of the other directors. You know, Scorsese's done films. Spike Lee's done films, and Steven Soderbergh has done The Nick on Cinemax. So everybody's coming over, but Woody Allen, whether you like him or not, is sort of the last of the big names, and he's also more curmudgeonly, not seeing the future and saying like, let's get into the streaming world. So him coming over is a pretty big deal. I think that my column about that was that if I was Netflix, which sort of it was right after Netflix's panels, and I think they got kind of one-upped by that announcement from Amazon. And then, of course, so Amazon wins for Transparent at the Golden Globes. 2 days later, they announced they've got Woody Allen making his first TV series. So I said, look, if you're Netflix, you got to go out and announce, hey, we've given a bunch of money to Wes Anderson to make movies, you know, or Richard Linklater or whoever, just make them. You got to match it.
Yeah.
And so in that way, it's a game changer. I didn't mean it like if you have to like Woody Allen or not, but I think that these scripted, digital content companies, which they like to call themselves, I think Netflix and Hulu and Amazon are changing the game that way, and it's exciting.
Yeah, they have the freedom to offer things that traditional networks don't. I mean, they literally can back up. I mean, all the networks can back up a truck of money to your house, but these guys can like, look, I mean, I guess like HBO maybe could and say, just do whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. We don't care.
It's a premium cable sensibility where they're not worried about ratings and they're not worried about, you know, they just, the idea is you like us, then for us to make good shows that people start talking about, that will make you go out and you'll buy Amazon Prime. That's what keeps Amazon in business. And HBO, same thing. We just won an Emmy for show X that everybody's talking about, Game of Thrones or whatnot. And then you're like, well, everybody's talking about Game of Thrones. I guess I better subscribe. And then that's how that's their business model.
Yeah.
So I think that's the same thing with these guys. And it's exciting. But to finish my point on the, you know, don't worry about, you know, going on and raiding Amazon's new pilots. They'll pick whatever the hell they want. You know, because if Woody's not going to go through that process, it was just like, okay, Woody, you want your show? Sure, go ahead. So that's, you know, I sort of took the urgency for me to run online and see. And the one that you talked about is the one everybody's talking about. And yes, given that, which is how everything was with Transparent, I think they're going to make that.
Right. I mean, they might look for shows that really resonate with the fans, but they're also looking for, you know, people like critics to say, oh my god, this was the best of the bunch, and that, you know, and that may just reinforce what they already know. I mean, they probably do already know what they want to do, so
yeah, I think so. And so there's that. And then really my takeaway, Jason, from being down here, we still have stuff to come, right? We still got Fox and FX, and they've got new stuff. And when Showtime was here, by the way, one of the things that you know, we saw a little teeny clip from, not even a clip, it couldn't even qualify as a clip. It was like a snippet from Twin Peaks. So in the pipeline at AMC, there's also really good stuff too. They just weren't ready to show it to us. I'm confident though that their stuff's going to be really good. But in the pipeline at Showtime, you've got Happy-ish, which was the Philip Seymour Hoffman was in that before he died.
Right, right.
Yeah, and so last press tour in the summer, before he died, they showed us a pretty extended clip of it, and it was great. We were rolling. I was laughing. Critics were laughing in the aisles, and I was like, that is going to be big. And then he died. So they've recast it entirely. They kept the script because the script was really great. So Steve Coogan is taking over that role. He's going to be in that. And that looks good for them coming down. Penny Dreadful, much more strong stuff. So everybody's got something good in the pipeline, which I think is great. But that's my takeaway from being down here, and we still have people to come, is that, oh my God, it's overwhelming. Like now we're at that point where we are overwhelmed by choice.
Yeah.
And you can't keep up because, I mean, if you look at it, so I did, I think I mentioned that, you know, TV Guide channel is now rebranded itself as Pop. And they actually right. came out with a decent Canadian show called Schitt's Creek, S-C-H-I-T-T, apostrophe S, you know, with Eugene Levy. And, you know, it's kind of funny. Everybody's got something, right? Then the Pivot, I did a whole column about how right. Pivot has this show Fortitude, which everybody should see, but it's probably not a show that A, the Pivot audience is going to want to watch, and B, nobody knows what the hell Pivot is or whether they get it or not. So here we are with all of this amazing content, Netflix stuff. It's coming at us, Jason, too fast, too furious.
Too fast, too furious. Very nice with the number two. Yeah, it does, definitely seems like if you're in the TV business, this is actually not a bad time to be in it because there's a lot of demand, even as the networks have changed what they're looking for. And, you know, everybody writes those obituaries about, oh, well, it's all going to be reality from now on. But it's like this seems to me to have the greatest diversity and variety of scripted stuff in the United States that we have maybe ever had. It's just coming from every angle, and each one of these networks has their own take on development. Plus, you've got the digital stuff that has a totally different, like, they're playing like a completely different game, and then from even HBO and Showtime, who are playing a different game from basic cable. It's crazy, and there's so much of it, and it sounds like a lot of it is good, which is also pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's a little bit exhausting. I'm down here thinking, how the heck am I going to watch all this stuff? But the plus side, there's stuff that I do want to watch. And there are things that you're like, okay, this is typical TV. For example, NBC was here today with this show called Allegiance, which is basically their version of The Americans on FX.
Right.
And not even a, you know, I mean, I don't know. I was sitting in that thing saying, well, wait, it's modern day? And we're worried about the Russians? Really? The Russians? I don't think we're worried about the Russians. I don't think the Russians are really on our radar as something that Americans are really worried about. Maybe in the 80s, like The Americans, sure, that's a great series. But one of the other things is that there's a lot of limited series. Even the networks are totally jumping on that. You know, we talked to how we've done a whole podcast about limited series. But yeah, you see it today. NBC announced they have this show called Odyssey, which is pretty ambitious. You know, it's Peter Horton came up with it. It's pretty ambitious. It's all, you know, Middle Eastern stuff, but it's a closed-ended thing. It's just they're not coming back, and more and more networks now, and not just cable channels, are going to that model. So it's, you know, credit or blame Fargo or True Detective if you want, but everybody, even in the broadcast arena, are going to go for that. But yeah, the overall thing is, wow, great time to be a TV watcher because you have so much to choose from. On the other hand, and maybe a great time to be a TV critic because maybe we have more power or whatnot to say, hey, look, time is the greatest value. This is your currency that's most important to most people. So let me just say, don't watch these, don't watch these, don't watch these.
Right.
And watch these, watch these, watch these. So, you know, who knows? But yeah, it's kind of a crazy time. It's like everybody's got something.
I guess the Brits had it right all along. Just make six or seven of something and then go away. And maybe you come back later and maybe you don't. It seems like, really, it seems like that's where we are now. Unless you're CBS and you're churning out franchises.
Well, that's the other thing, too. When you look at something like The Returns being remade Lies and Whispers, whatever they're going to call it. It's like, do we really need to like take these formats from other countries? And don't we have enough of our own TV?
Right.
So we're crazy. We're drowning in it. So I don't know. As we move forward, all this will settle out. And I guess from my perspective, that's the interesting part for me, because then it's just like, okay, now it's Darwinian time, and things are going to get really interesting. So I like that. I like when it gets ugly.
Wow, so not only are we overwhelmed by choice as viewers, but you seem to be overwhelmed by everything. when you go to this thing, there's just so much information.
Yeah.
You got a few more days of it, and you get to
come
home.
A few more days, and I guarantee you that, you know, when we get, I'll be back, you know, next Wednesday, so we can have a future podcast, and then I can wrap up whatever happened on the tail end of the tour, but I still think I'll be exhausted, just not just from grinding through this thing, but from just trying to wrap my head around, like, how do people who don't get paid to do this, to get watch stuff, how do they get their wrap their head around how much stuff's out there? And then ultimately, what's the functional aspect of that? What prompts them to say, yes, I will, you know, I've moved my level of tolerance from 6 shows that I can follow to 10 shows. And then here's my decision-making process in how I did that. That's going to be fascinating.
Well, I do think it makes the job of the TV critic that much more important because, you know, the more complicated and weird this gets, and it's like this when I write about technology too, the more in times of confusion, it's actually a great time to be somebody who's got information. And so you guys being able to say, I've seen all this stuff or I've seen a lot of this stuff and that's worth your time and that's not worth your time. That becomes even more important because, you know, you can't, you know, in the classic days, there were 3 networks and you could only watch a third of what was on, right? But now you could only watch a tiny fraction of what's on if you're just a regular consumer. And so you've got, you know, that's the value of having the TV critics is to point it out and say, here's a good show. You should go watch that show. I think there's huge value in that. I also wonder sometimes if it changes the game even more for the networks that used to be able to get away with some junk, figuring people would watch it. And that's changed over time. But now with so much stuff on cable, I feel like the jig is completely up for them. Like you cannot get away with junk because there is because like The Walking Dead will outdo them in the ratings and people love it. And so you can't just fill time with crap because there's something on somewhere else that's better at any given time than that stuff.
It's times of confusion.
Oh, it's perfect. Like this is your time. Maybe shine.
I think I'm going to get a shirt like that. I'm going to change mine. It's not going to be the Bastard Machine anymore. It's Times of Confusion.
All right.
Yeah. Put my first album out called Times of Confusion. An expert in the time of confusion. I like it. I'm going to position myself that way. Okay, it's my new brand. Cool. That is my brand Halo, as they're saying down here now.
Halo. That's nice. Are you a thought leader? Or are you an influencer?
Thought leader, influencer. Now you're a bringer, by the way.
Oh, nice.
A bringer of an audience. No one's going to come just because they want to come out and see something. You got to bring them to you. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's so true.
Brand Halo.
That's why you're a bringer, Tim, because this audience is brought here by you.
Definitely. I'm a bringer and I have a brand Halo.
You do.
I got a lot going on. I have got a lot going on.
Well, wherever you go, always bring your brand Halo.
Yes. Into times of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
Get under my brand Halo. And I will walk you into the times of confusion as an expert.
Wow.
Lost my mind. My utter mind.
More wine, Tim. More wine.
It's the middle of the day. I haven't had any wine.
It's the afternoon. That's right.
The scary part.
Are we good? Do you think done enough? All right.
I think we did some
Once again, now we've done 2 consecutive weeks from the Death March, which is set some sort of record.
Oh, the history is, we're you know, rip up the history books.
Mm-hmm.
Rewritten them.
Hide under the brand Halo. Rip up the history books. All right. So next week we'll talk and you'll be home.
Yes. And I will be in the comfort of my own home and away from the madness of Los Angeles and hopefully putting some perspective into the tail end of this winter press tour.
All right, well, that marks the end of episode 17. We'll be back next week with more. Thanks to everybody out there for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.